Welcome to the Key Wealth Matters weekly podcast, where we casually ramble on about important topics, including the markets, the economy, human ingenuity, and almost anything under the sun, giving you the keys to open doors in the world of investing. Today is Friday, April 19th, 2024. I'm Brian Pietrangelo, and welcome to the podcast. And if you are a music fan, tomorrow is National Record Store Day. So if you have the chance, get out and visit your local vinyl record store and see if you can find some music that fits your taste for the day. It takes me back to the 1970s when I had my first turntable and reminds me again, are we back in the 70s from the inflation perspective, given what we've had going on in the last few years? And with that, I would like to introduce our panel of investing experts here to provide their insights on this week's market activity and more. George Mateo, Chief Investment Officer, Steve Haight, Head of Equities, and Rajiv Sharma, Head of Fixed Income. As a reminder, a lot of great content is available on key.com/wealthinsights, including updates from our Wealth Institute on many different subjects, and especially our Key Questions article series addressing a relevant topic for investors each week. In addition, if you have any questions or need more information, please reach out to your financial advisor. Taking a look at this week's market and economic news, we have four updates for you, beginning with retail sales at the beginning of the week. For March, we're up 0.7%, and the revisions for February were revised higher from 0.6% to 0.9%, so good news there in terms of consumer spending with regard to retail sales. On the other side of the economy, with industrial production was also up for March, 0.4%, and February was also revised higher from 0.1% to 0.4%, so we're seeing some strengthening in the overall manufacturing sector of the economy to match the consumer. And third, the Federal Reserve's Beige Book report was released on Wednesday, which typically comes 2 weeks in advance of their Federal Open Market Committee, and showed that overall economic activity expanded since February, with 10 out of the 12 districts experiencing either slight or modest economic growth, while the other two reported no changes in activity. Employment rose at a slight pace overall, with 9 districts reporting very slow to modest increases and the remaining 3 districts reporting no changes at all in employment. In addition, multiple districts said that the annual wage growth rates had recently returned to their historical averages. And fourth, the Conference Board's leading economic indicators decreased by 0.3% for March, which again gives us some mixed signals in terms of uncertainty as which way the economy is headed. But again, we'll have that discussion with our panel. And finally, we'll leave you with two analogies with regard to a record player. So just like a broken record player analogy, we continue to focus on the concept of inflation and Federal Reserve policy, and it does make the news on a regular basis. And second, we had more Fed speak, in particular from Jay Powell this week, which sounded a little bit like going around and around with regard to whether or not there will be rate cuts given what's the status of overall inflation. And we'll get Rajiv's take on that as well. But before we do that, let's start today's conversation with Steve, where we talk a little bit about what's happening in the earnings season, as well as what's happening with the recent pullback in the stock market. Steve?
Well, Brian, it's been an interesting week this week. You know, the market is down a couple of percent or so. But, you know, when you think about all the geopolitical stuff that's been going on, whether it's the situation in the Middle East or the price of oil, other stuff here domestically, the market's had ample opportunity to sell off more, and when we get into a situation like that, you start to ask yourself why things aren't doing what many would have thought they could have been doing. And you know, look, we see the earnings season right now is off to a pretty good start, so you could point right there for at least one reason why things are going better than maybe expected right now. You know, when you look at the price of oil and the influence that this could have on things too, you know, one thing I would point out is oil's up 15% year to date. But when you look at the first quarter estimates for energy stocks estimates have fallen by almost the exact same amount. So when you take a look at what that could mean for earnings surprises as we move through this reporting season, that's the potential for positive surprises right there. When you've got the underlying up and you've got the actual estimates moving lower. So again, pretty good setup there in energy. You know, when you look at the broad market, about 14% of the S&P 500 has reported at this point in time. You know, when you look at the expectations, 3.2% revenue growth, EPS up right now about 4.7%. The growth really is spread not evenly whatsoever, with almost 30% EPS growth coming out of the tech and the tech levered names, while again, energy and materials have seen EPS numbers down about 25%. So it's a really bifurcated market. When we think about what's necessary though for this market to start to continue to have this traction to the upside that we've been talking about lately, look, we believe that the tech numbers are going to continue to come through likely and are going to continue to help things, but we really do need to see these cyclical sectors start to turn. Financials have seen good EPS growth here as we've come through bank earnings to start, with EPS growth there coming in over 8%. But that those energy materials and to a lesser degree industrials really do, we do really want to see that improve. That'll help broaden this rally. We've seen cyclicals really start to show some leadership, but we need to have the fundamentals underpin that as we head deeper into earnings season and head deeper into this year. Just to give people an update of where things sit over the next week or so, we get a little more than 37% of the S&P 500's market cap reporting earnings over the next five trading sessions next week. And that includes a lot of important names. You know, when I look at next week's earnings calendar, you see Tesla, you see Microsoft, you see Meta, you see ExxonMobil. So we've got quite a bit of market cap reporting and we've got quite a bit of market cap reporting across important parts of the market. So going to be something for people to really pay attention to. And again, just to refocus people, earnings estimates for the S&P 500 in aggregate are now over $250. That trend continues to go up and to the right. So yeah, as we've often said, as long as the earnings estimate forward number continues to go up and to the right, it's really hard to get bearish on the market. So geopolitical stuff notwithstanding, which could cause volatility day to day, the underlying trend here really is one of strength as the U.S. growth picture continues to surprise.
So I think it's important to note, Steve, that we're recording this around 10 a.m. on Friday morning. And we say, I guess I timestamp that because things are moving pretty quickly. And you know, had we done this call a couple of hours earlier, which would be pretty early, but if we did it, I guess you'd probably see markets down a lot more than they are right now. They're down a little bit, actually, it looks like. But you know, earlier this morning, equities were down almost 2%. The 10-year Treasury had rallied quite strongly, and gold and oil were also spiking, probably on those geopolitical concerns you mentioned. You know, I think it is kind of fair to say that the next steps from here are pretty crucial. I mean, the risk of a miscalculation is pretty high, and we have to pay attention to that. You know, how it kind of evolves is really unknowable, and nobody can really predict with any certainty how geopolitical events unfold. I think equally difficult is really how to understand how markets might react. And in the short term, it's kind of a wild, there's a wild bunch of outcomes that could happen because of geopolitical risks that flare up anywhere, particularly in the Middle East, as we've seen time and time again most recently. But I think if you take a step back and just to put these into context, and not to overemphasize this too much and make this conversation all about geopolitical events, but when you have these moments, typically, you know, stocks do kind of trade down and risk assets or risk, maybe safe haven assets do kind of catch a bid and defensive things and maybe things that are kind of hedged against volatility like commodities and gold and oil and things you mentioned do also work higher. But over the kind of intermediate term, usually about a month or so after the initial outbreak happens, stocks kind of settle up. They don't really settle down. They settle up, meaning they kind of resolve higher. And indeed, when I look at history and I see these moments in time, roughly two-thirds of the time, you actually see markets higher 12 months later. So not to say that, you know, things could get worse and we have to pay attention to what happens probably in the near term. As I mentioned, I do think that the risks of some kind of misstep are pretty significant on either side of the table. But there, that being said, I think most people are trying to find a way forward, let level heads prevail, and really kind of let things settle down over time is probably what likely happens in the next couple of months. But again, it's hard to say for sure. More notably, I guess in the near-term regime, we've got the Fed kind of back in focus. And I know you've been paying close attention to this in the last few days or so. But it seems like the Fed has also kind of reversed course a little bit once again, where in the beginning of this year, they and others were thinking they would be cutting rates. Now there's some consideration that they're pausing. And I've even heard a few Fed heads talk about actually raising rates sometimes. So how do you make sense of what's happening with the Fed these days and their outlook for inflation for the rest of this year?
Well, George, I mean, Fed Chair Powell came out. He made comments this week, and he pretty much did an about face from those three rate cut projections that we had just back in March, the FOMC meeting. Powell's comments were, he basically said that we're not seeing enough sustainable disinflation right now. That really spooked the market. As soon as he made those comments, we saw the impact on the Treasury yield curve. Basically, we also took the June rate cut off the table. Now there's a major shift on when the first rate cut will be. So now if you look at July, even July is about 30%. So I think that this really puts the notion about the Fed being very, very particular about not making a policy error, keeping rates higher for longer. I think that's the message that Powell gave this week. And other Fed speakers also gave the same kind of message. And so the market's kind of trying to like figure out, you start the year off with 7 rate cuts. That's what the market was anticipating. We were never in that camp. But now the market is finally starting to gravitate towards this Fed narrative. And we've talked about this before, that don't fight the Fed. Right now, you see the market is estimating only 1.6 rate cuts for 2024. So from going from 7 rate cuts when we started the year off to 1.6 rate cuts for 2024, that's a lot of pain in the bond market. And we're seeing that pain, especially on those interest rate sensitive sectors in the market. So right now, everything is getting negatively impacted. We're seeing yields surging higher. We saw the 2-year get very close to 5%. It continues to be close to 5%. I think we're going to continue to see the 2-year, which is most sensitive to Fed policy. We're going to see the 2-year continue to try to gravitate towards 5% until next week's PCE report, which is going to be very important. If that report comes out with 2.7 or 2.8%, I think that might get some calm in the market. But right now, it's just been a surge higher in yields this whole week. In this higher for longer environment, we continue to advocate for high quality corporate bonds for our strategies. They do provide the highest yields that we've seen in the last 5 months. And any slowdown in new issuance that we see, I think, will be very positive for investment grade corporate credit.
So as we often talk about, George, with our asset allocation policy, with a lot of different risks, geopolitical risk, Fed risk, inflation risk, yield risk, what are our thoughts for investors to be most important in diversifying between stocks, bonds, cash, maybe real assets and alternatives, George?
I'll answer all the above, I think, Ryan. I think, you know, this is a great environment to remind people that diversification tends to work, because all these things we talked about this morning are somewhat short term. They're important signals, to be sure. I mean, what happens with earnings in the next few weeks is going to be very important. And Steve's been right to focus on some of those companies he talked about. Same thing with Rajiv, and what happens in fixed income is going to be very important to see what the Fed does in terms of future direction for monetary policy. You know, and I think those things do matter for sure. But, you know, there's a big, a lot of haze, I think, right now in the outlook in the next few months, given uncertainty with respect to the path of inflation, uncertainty with what happens in the Middle East, and even to some extent, probably, you know, corporate profit margins are somewhat uncertain too. So I guess, you know, we've been talking about this narrative for quite some time that really kind of, roughly speaking, being relatively neutral towards risk means if you look at your strategic allocation policy, we're not advocating taking risk up, but at the same time, we're not really advocating taking risk down either. So staying fully diversified, I think, in this backdrop, focusing on quality. And you mentioned things like real assets and alternative strategies for people that can accommodate those have also been worthwhile. And you know, real assets in particular seem to work well when you have these unexpected bouts of volatility coming from, you know, exogenous events. That's kind of played out pretty well this year. Not that we really wish for those things to happen, but actually has provided some support to a portfolio. And same thing with things like hedge funds and global macro funds that can provide some support there as well. So I think our view overall, Brian, continues to be balanced towards risk and really remaining fully diversified in this environment.
Well, thanks again for the conversation today, George, Stephen, Rajiv. We appreciate your insights. And thanks to our listeners for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe to the Key Wealth Matters podcast through your favorite podcast app. As always, past performance is no guarantee of future results, and we know your financial situation is personal to you. So reach out to your relationship manager, portfolio strategist, or financial advisor for more information, and we'll catch up with you next week to see how the world and the markets have changed and provide those keys to help you navigate your financial journey.
Key Wealth, Key Private Bank, Key Family Wealth, KeyBank Institutional Advisors, and Key Private Client are marketing names for KeyBank National Association, or KeyBank, and certain affiliates such as Key Investment Services LLC, or KISS, and Key Corp Insurance Agency USA Inc., or KIA. The Key Wealth Institute is comprised of financial professionals representing KeyBank and certain affiliates such as KISS and KIA. Any opinions, projections, or recommendations contained herein are subject to change without notice, are those of the individual authors, and may not necessarily represent the views of KeyBank or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. This material presented is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be an offer, recommendation, or solicitation to purchase or sell any security or product or to employ a specific investment strategy. KeyBank, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates, represent, warrant, or guarantee that this material is accurate, complete, or suitable for any purpose or any investor, and it should not be used as a basis for investment decisions. It is not to be relied upon or used in substitution for the exercise of independent judgment. It should not be construed as individual tax, legal, or financial advice. The summaries, prices, quotes, and/or statistics contained herein have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but are not necessarily complete and cannot be guaranteed. They are provided for informational purposes only and are not intended to replace any confirmations or statements. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Investment products, brokerage, and investment advisory services are offered through KISS, member FINRA/SIPC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Insurance products are offered through KIA. Insurance products offered through KIA are underwritten by, and the obligation of, insurance companies that are not affiliated with KeyBank. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal amount invested. There is no guarantee that investment objectives will be achieved. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Asset allocation and diversification do not guarantee returns or protect against losses. Investment and insurance products and services are not FDIC insured, not bank guaranteed, may lose value, not a deposit, and not insured by any federal or state government agency. This content is copyrighted by KeyCorp 2024.